Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates. That music is not fast enough.
You're talking a little fast right now.
That's what happens when I have coffee.
I'm Sarah Gulseth, by the way.
Good morning, Sarah Gulseth.
I'm going to try to get a word in edgewise.
Did you bike in this morning?
I did bike
this
morning.
Finally?
Yes, finally. I've had like 2 weeks off. Or three, I don't know. It's been a while.
Finally having some beautiful weather. Although,
yes.
I think it was last fall. Horrible weather, all the hurricanes that came in. And it was, man, a lot of damage. But we have tornadoes that happen all the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how do LCMS congregations and partners make a difference in their community? Well, through a huge network of volunteers, through congregations, volunteers, pastors, all stepping in to serve their communities. Joining us by phone this morning to celebrate National Volunteer Month, David Ricks. He's the chairman of the Disaster Care Ministry at Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Arlington, Texas. David, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Well, thank you for having me this morning.
A pleasure. Thanks for being our guest and sharing about Beautiful Savior and Disaster Care Ministry there. Tell us, how did you get involved with Disaster Care Ministry there at Beautiful Savior?
Well, back in 2000, we had a tornado come through and it hit downtown Fort Worth and some of the very poor areas of the Fort Worth community. And I was contacted by Aid Association for Lutherans, which is now part of ThriveInt, and asked to represent them in a community meeting to talk about how we could do recovery. We ended up roofing six houses, and that's where it got started. It was amazing to me when I went to the meeting because I was the only Lutheran present. There were a bunch of people from each of the other denominations, and I wrote our district president and said, you know, where are the rest of the Lutherans? And he said, you're right, we need Lutherans there, and I'm going to appoint a committee to find out, and guess what? You're going to chair that committee.
Yeah, the person that raises their hand first is generally the one that gets to lead it, right?
And look at what it's turned into. This is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is exciting what we've got going on down here. We work hand-in-hand with LCMS Disaster Response. I actually do alert training for them in some of the churches here in the area. We've put together a coalition of about 24 churches that work together and have work days when disasters hit, which, you know, in Texas we seem to have more than our fair share of them.
What are some of the ways you've been able to help people move through these disasters and actually respond to people's needs?
Well, you know, just looking at last year, we actually set up some work days in Canton, Texas, after a tornado, actually it was a series of three tornadoes came through that area. And we went out, and in that case, we mostly were providing debris removal and having chainsaw teams that were trained by LCMS out cutting up logs. That's kind of in East Texas, tall pine trees, so there were a lot of down trees. Last fall, as you mentioned earlier, we had Hurricane Harvey come through, and over 400 square miles of Texas was affected by Hurricane Harvey. And our ministry teamed up with Hope Lutheran down in Winnie, Texas, and we set up Camp Compassion, and we actually put in over 3,500 man hours and sheetrocked 22 houses.
When you first got involved as a volunteer, did you ever think that you would use chainsaws to show the mercy of Jesus to others?
No, I really didn't. And, you know, the other thing that we do in our church is we do the disaster buckets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year we put out 1,500 disaster buckets. The first time we got together and assembled disaster buckets, we put together 42. I would have never thought it would grow to what it's grown to today.
What does that entail? What do you put together in the disaster bucket?
Well, we get a 5-gallon bucket, and we put cleaning supplies, bleach, a Comet-type product, Ajax, window cleaner, some gloves, and some other things, and then we put some devotional materials in there. It's and paper towels. It's just a good start for somebody who has to clean up to help clean their personal belongings and that kind of thing. But the bucket's not the important thing. We take those buckets and we hand carry them out to the folks that are affected, and that gives us an opportunity to interact with them, to talk, to listen to their story, and if appropriate, share the love of Christ with them in any way that we can.
Tell me more about that. When you meet someone who has just experienced a disaster, such as a tornado or a wildfire or hurricane, and you most likely lost their home or all their earthly possessions, what's it like beginning that conversation and listening to their story?
You know, it's kind of interesting because we encounter, in my opinion, two types of people. One, of course, are those that are of the house of believers, and the others are those who don't have a strong faith in God. And surprisingly, most of the folks who are Christian and believe Christ as their Savior, they seem to have a very good attitude despite the fact that they may have lost everything. They still, you know, are emotionally upset by the situation, and in all cases, they need to talk. So as a disaster responder, it is very important for us to listen to what the people are saying. They need an ear to tell what happened. That usually leads to a conversation where you can maybe share a little bit of why you're there. Usually the question comes out at some point, you know, why are you here? I remember the first house that we roofed. I had about a 20-minute conversation with the homeowner, and eventually she asked, she said, "I just don't understand this. I'm a member of a Bible church here in Fort Worth, and they haven't even checked on me. Why are you Lutherans putting a roof on my house?" And it just throws the door wide open to share God's mercy and how we receive God's mercy. And so we want to pay that forward by sharing the mercy of God with those who are in need. Quite often we see in the disaster responses we respond to that some of the folks that we help actually end up joining the local Lutheran church.
That's a beautiful thing to be able to share Christ's love with people who are hurting and going through these difficult times. What have you learned about yourself or your church in this process of volunteering and being able to give back?
Well, you know, I guess I have, God has drilled home that we can do anything in Christ. Some of the things that we have achieved through disaster care, I would have never thought myself or my church capable. I belong to a small church. We worship between 40 and 45 on a Sunday, and to have such an effect nationally as we've been able to do through our buckets and through our work days that we set up is just incredible to me. And each year I think, gee, we can't do any more, and the next year God shows me a way that we can do more.
Tell me more about that, how you are, how people partner with you and how you're supported to be able to serve in your community in this way.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful thing. First of all, we have a strong partnership with LCMS Disaster Care. And through responding, we've made friends with other Lutheran churches and other Lutheran organizations. We've worked hand in hand with Sacred Heart Ministry. I can't think of the name of the ministry, but Ed Brazier runs a ministry that does tree cutting and has been all over the country. It seems like every time I go to a disaster, we run into him. the really interesting thing is the churches that we have worked out of and helped, a lot of them support our ministry financially now. So over the years, we've helped churches that now are giving so that we can help other churches. We always work through the local church. You know, it's important that we are seen as a local Lutheran church. It does no good for me to go to Winnie, Texas, for example, and say, "Hey, I'm from Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Arlington." That doesn't mean a whole lot to the folks there. But if I say we're working through Hope Lutheran, they may turn to Hope for additional help, for spiritual guidance, for other things that they would never reach out to Arlington, Texas for, because it's a 4.5-hour drive away. But through those things, God has opened a myriad of opportunities. We have gotten community grants from organizations like Home Depot. We've gotten disaster grants from the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Last year, we had the Oklahoma District put together disaster buckets and brought them to us to distribute. With the flooding that happened in Louisiana, we were helping out, or in Houston, I guess it was last year. The Florida-Georgia district sent us a check to buy bucket supplies. So
that collaboration and partnership is outstanding. David, thanks so much for being our guest today. David Ricks, chairman of the Disaster Care Ministry at Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Arlington, Texas. Thanks for helping us celebrate National Volunteer Month, and thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
It was a pleasure talking with you.
That is outstanding to hear about. And David is just one of many volunteers who have served through LCMS Disaster Care. Tomorrow begins Charathon, 7 a.m. right here on KFUO, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Join us for Charathon. Sarah and I will be here during our 9 o'clock coffee hour.
Still drinking coffee. Maybe more coffee.
I don't think I'll have as much. I'm coming down off my caffeine now. Thanks for joining us for the coffee hour. Join us for Charathon tomorrow, Friday and Saturday. I'm Eddie Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.